Make us deeply aware of your presence in this place tonight. We know you're here because you promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, and there am I in the midst of them. And yet we know that we can become so indifferent to you that we're just like someone living by the railroad. We're never aware when the trains pass by. We can sleep on through it. So speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Several have received the Holy Spirit in the meeting here lately. And I'm going to go that away again tonight. I'm not going to try to convince you, because only the Holy Spirit can do that. But I was thinking this afternoon, they found some people that are about as far from any sort of education as is possible. Several years back, they were known as the rainforest people. Those people had life just like you and I had life. And you can make up your mind in their own particular field, they were far more able and capable of living in that situation than you and I would be. Simply because someone lives in a rainforest, that don't make mean they're not intelligent. They just aren't informed. Now, there are a lot of God's precious people that are in many, many stages of being informed as to their rights as a child of God. Some testified tonight about the security of the believer. Do you realize the majority, probably, of born again men and women do not believe in the security of the believer? And if they do believe it, they couldn't defend it if you knew enough to bring several scriptures and twist them out of their context to make them believe it otherwise. And so there are many, many grades of God's precious people. Here sits Brother Hill. He was a godly man and a good man and a capable man, an able man in his Bible. He was out here in one of the fundamental churches. He came in my office the first time, and I was aware, Brother Hill, that you had studied your Bible, and you knew quite a bit about your Bible. But one day, his wife gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And, of course, he knew she hadn't been. And she knew she had been. The difference was, is she had the Word of God. And he didn't have the Word of God. And in spite of the fact that he was probably just as determined as she was, she had the Word of God, and he didn't have the Word of God. The same is true as you go on into the things of God. The vast majority of God's precious people, virtually all of them, know next to nothing about the plan for this age and dispensation of grace that he has as he visits the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. They don't know that. Oh, you'll hear people talk about the bride, but they know next to nothing about the true meaning of the bride. You can talk to that sweet little girl there by her daddy, and you can talk to her about a bride and get married and one thing and another, and She will intellectually grasp a little of it, but it won't really mean anything to her. It's like one of my little great-granddaughters. I don't know whether she's here tonight or not. She can get some pretty good ones across. And I don't mean this to be sound wrong in any way, but one day she had her grandpa in that office, and she was putting some pretty good questions to me. And she said, "Now, Grandpa, I can't have any babies yet, can I? I don't have any breast to feed them." Little kid, about 8 years old. Now, she had some ideas about things, but she didn't really know about anything. Now, precious hearts, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. And there's so many things. Well, I'm going to read first. Let me read. From the second chapter of the book of Acts, verse 38 and 9. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And then I want to go to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Paul is at Ephesus, where there was an established assembly. In fact, there were elders, people who were of superior abilities, at least they seemed to be, in that assembly. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost?" Now I know we've had every kind of a clever ever to get around this, to say it means when, and so on. Now, let me just say this, not for argument. If you don't want to believe that you can have the blessed Holy Ghost who enabled everything that's ever been accomplished in the Bible, who was the power for all, the wisdom for all. Do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Do you know why he never committed, performed a miracle until he turned the water to wine? Because he was a man. Now, in his own right, when the devil said, "Turn those stones to bread," he could have done that in his own right. But he would have taken himself out of the hand of God. He no longer would have perfected manhood, and he no longer could have been my Savior. The devil did everything he could to try to get him to do something in his own strength, by his own might, by his own right as equal with God. But what he did by the power of the Holy Ghost. So, now, let me tell you, if our fundamental brethren were right, Paul wouldn't have asked this question. If he knew they had believed, if you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe, how foolish it would be to ask them. You see, there's more here to that than that. Now let me see. He said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And that's exactly the way it is. Since you believed. And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now this was several years after our first text, when Peter said, now the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, if that meant just then, this couldn't be in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, but it was. And we're a part of those that are far off. Now, dear hearts, do you know what a birthright is? That's something you never worked for, something you may never have deserved, something that you proved in one sense to be unworthy of, but it's yours because you happen to be born right. This is the birthright. And the Holy Spirit is the birthright of every child of God. You may never have it. Esau had a birthright. He turned it down. He sold it for a mess of pottage. I've seen many and many a child of God refuse their birthright to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of them. That doesn't make it not true. Every child of God is entitled to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the divine power, or that is the energy by which life is maintained and made strong. You think just a minute. All that a believer is called to be or do, the Holy Spirit can and will make possible. If you're a child of God, when you became a child of God, you became an heir of God. But you can be a joint heir, if so be that you suffer together with him. Well, you say, Brother Hill, I can't do it. Well, that's just what we're talking about. We're talking about the person that can enable you to do it. You see, the blessed Holy Spirit can empower you to do anything that is the will of God. Who do you think enabled Elijah to part the river and then Elisha turning right around and part it again? Who do you think made the iron swim and the stick sink? Who do you think again and again and again took a handful full of nobodies and whipped great armies equipped with every modern means of warfare to that day? It was the Holy Spirit. And without him, life cannot measure up to the purpose and the plan of God. Now, I've known some precious men. Some precious men. I'm sure old Dr. Dion was a godly and a good man. Ironside is one of the finest men you'd have ever known. You take men of that caliber, great Bible students, you get their writings. Find, if you can find a tract on caught up with Paul. Find if you can find a tract on cherubim and seraphim. See if you can find a tract that will teach you the true meaning of the bride of Christ. They'll talk about a bride, but that's all. Dear hearts, you must realize that the Holy Spirit is your birthright. You don't have to beg for Him. All you have to do is make your claim. Heaven and all of its power stands ready to back you up with your claim. That's all you need to do. You don't have to come down here and beg and beg and beg and beg for your birthright. You just have to come and believe for your birthright. Paul said, receive ye the Holy Ghost by works or by the hearing of faith. You can believe God. I've seen men and women get filled just sitting in their seats. I think, and Sister Hill will remember this, we had that dear man years ago I've told you about, dear old Brother Giles, who was dying, and I went to the tent where he was living his last moments out on Missouri River bluffs. He'd lived a fast life, a hard life. He never thought of tomorrow. He was like the grasshopper. Now he lay dying, and make a long story short, I went in there, and he gave his heart to God. He said, I'm ready to die, and I said, you're just ready to live, man. You never have lived yet. But he said, I've got to die. The doctors have given me up. And, of course, I took my watch. I used it as an illustration. Had a pocket watch. I've told you how my rascals of sons got rid of it. And beautiful gold watch, 23 carat. I ought to go back there and whip them right now. Oh, my. But anyway, I said, if I drop this watch, I'd just take it out here and throw it in Missouri River. Oh, he said, no, no. I said, well, it won't run. But he said, take it to a watchmaker. I said, man, do you mean to tell me a watchmaker could do more for his product than God can for his? Bones. The meat was falling between the bones on the pole guy. Looked like a skeleton covered with skin. That was on a Monday, if my memory serves me correctly. The following Friday night, he walked into our service. And then he sat there. We had an awful drought that time. I had a good garden. Everything was burning up. Finally, it came a good rain. I went out and dug a trench down to my garden so the water would run down off the hill and soak my garden up. And I was telling how that old corn, I just watched it come to life. Suddenly he jumped up and he said, Brother Hill, I just feel like that old dry shuck. But that was as far as he got. He started talking in tongues like he had done it all his life. Whole ignorant guy, he couldn't speak English very well. But, oh my, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, he spoke in something. And he was doing a good job of it, too. Lived for years after that. Now, who did that? Who did that? I didn't. I didn't heal him. I didn't save him. I didn't fill him. I didn't keep him until that tornado got a hold of him, rolled him quite a ways, and banged him up when he was way up in his 80s, about 90. And, you know, finally he died. awful thing. Well, so the Holy Spirit is your birthright. You don't have to do a lot of begging to receive Him. Receive Him. You could receive Him right now. God knows. Well, you say, I don't know how. Sure, you never will know how. And you'll marvel. Al, sitting back there, keeps saying, amen, amen. He sat in this meeting for years, and he kept trying to do it the way he wanted to do it. He's, he's got one of them heads up there that got in his way. Sure, that's right. You know, he spent one bad winter in Illinois learning how to quote the Britannica. Can you imagine that? Don't ask him a question about some of those things. He'll make your hair stand up on your head. But one day he gave up. And you know what? He got filled. Now he scares everybody that comes into church. His wife, sitting back there behind, they brought someone to church here recently. She said, I just knew Al was going to get loose. Well, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is your birthright. Is your birthright. You know, you'd stand up for your birthright if you knew it, if it added up to $5. Wouldn't you? Even if you didn't need the $5, you'd want what was coming to you, wouldn't you? Sure you would. Listen, if you had a billion universes like this, they couldn't be as valuable to you as the Holy Spirit would be to you. He would lead you into all the truth. And the only thing that's going to survive when this whole life is over is, did I believe that? That's the wealth. Well, then the Holy Spirit, more than that, He's every believer's need. You need Him. You just don't realize how much you need Him. I don't care how brilliant you think you are. There's such a need. Think of the purpose of this age. I mentioned it a little earlier. The purpose of this age. It isn't to get people saved. That's just a little of it. He'd have all men to be saved. Did you hear that? But it didn't stop there. You ought to quote the rest of it. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. See? He wants you to know the truth. Because if you know the truth, it'll make you free. If you know the truth, it'll beget faith in your life. It'll enable you to add your name to the celebrities over yonder. Do you realize Jesus Christ is going to have a bride? And just as Eliezer was necessary for Isaac to have a bride, the Holy Spirit is necessary for you to qualify to be in the bride of Christ. Now that don't mean you must realize that Rebecca, as she sat in her father's home, everybody heard what Eliezer had to say there, but there was only one that became the bride. In fact, there were a few maidens went along with her, but they didn't all become the bride. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you need Him. He alone can bring sinners. The Bible says, no man can come to Me except the Spirit of My Father draw him. And it's Jesus said, He shall witness of Me, and He is the power to live. Think of Peter before and after, and He alone works miracles. There's no other one without Him. The church loses its spiritual spiritual glow. Don't you know that? The church is so full of program, so full of men and women, even that have received the Holy Spirit, that are leaning to and trusting everything but the simplicity of the gospel. The longer I live, the more my confidence is alone in this. Because it's God's choice. This is God's choice. He has chosen to save men through the foolishness of preaching. That's His choice. I might like to do it another way, but I want to do it His way. I might want to show you how brilliant I am, how great I am. Precious hearts, do you realize a man don't have to have any knowledge of the Word of God to become a religious leader today? And note, I said religious leader, not spiritual leader. Do you realize the Pope is anything in the world but a spiritual leader? Do you realize, oh, what you call him over here, and that just recently became the top muck in Salt Lake City? He's not a spiritual leader, he's a religious leader. You can't be a spiritual leader unless you lead men in the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. Well, I get crazier all the time. Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad. Precious hearts, you realize ritual takes the place of the miracle in the church tonight, and the blazing wonder of God just isn't there much anymore. Then the Holy Spirit is every believer's responsibility. Now, He's your birthright. He's your need. But one day, you're going to find out you were responsible too. Huh? There's something for us to do. And one day, He'll require it of you. You remember how Jesus told a story about this man that went away and He gave 10 talents to this fellow, and He gave 5 talents to this fellow. Now, I don't know another place it was different number, and 1 to this one. He came back. The man with the 10 talents had used his 10 talents and got 10 more. He commended him. He said, "Have rulership over 10 cities. The fellow with 5 talents had used his 5 talents. He commended him, said, "Take ruler over 5 cities. Here come this other guy." He said, "Well, what about that?" "Well," he said, "I knew you were an austere man. I knew you reaped where you didn't sow. I knew all that. I knew what they knew. But you know, that old snot rag, I don't have it. But I got this." That's self-righteousness. That's a religion. He said, "See there? I put it in there and I kept it real good. It's just shining nice as it ever was." Another place said he hid it in the earth. See, you can hide your talents in religion. It won't do you any good. Don't do him any good. You can hide your religion in worldly living. It won't do him any good or you any good. He said, "You just take that talent from him and give it to the guy that's got 10. Now, he didn't say, "I took his salvation away from him." So don't try to make it that. You see? It's your responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be your best to yourself, to God, to anyone else, unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care how good you are or otherwise. I don't care what else you could have done and did do. You will never be your best for God until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, I think of the indifference. What makes people so indifferent to this person? Isn't it amazing that anyone wouldn't want to know about the Holy Spirit? He's the one that wrote this book. He was the one that got a hold of Israel and taught them how to do what they did. He was the one that led them to the land of Canaan. He was the one that fought their battles. He was the one that shaded them in the daytime and hovered over them like a mother hen of a night. He was that pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. He was the one that enabled them, who enabled Paul, who enabled Christ, who enabled everybody that's ever come into this world that's been enabled of God. But we're indifferent. You say, Brother Hill, you want me to be as crazy as you? Crazier. If you call Peter crazy, wouldn't you like to be crazy like Peter? Or crazy like Paul? They said, well, you remember what that king said? He said, look, much learning. He had it all wrong. He thought because he was such an educated, brilliant man, he said, it's made you mad, Paul. Do you realize that the brothers of Jesus said, he's gone dingy. They went out to take him. Don't you know that after he got filled with the Holy Ghost? Sure. They said, that poor brother of ours, he's flipped his lid. He's out there telling people now he's the Messiah. Well, what happens after you get filled? Jesus said, you shall be witnesses to me. You'll be my witnesses. You want to be a witness? Now, this means more than just sitting on a bar stool telling somebody as you drink beer with them that Jesus is their Savior. This means a lot more than that. This word witness is the word, the Greek word from which we get our English word martyr. This means that if you have to go in your testimony to the place it would cost you your life, that you will gladly do it. That's the kind of testimony the world needs tonight. It needs a testimony that's real. It needs a testimony, and it knows you mean it. And so, Paul also, he said, why, he said, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. But let me say, Christ will become more real than he ever has been to you. Did he to you, Brother Hill? You're a good, and he was a good Baptist. Now, don't you tell me he was a good Baptist. Loved him. He was my brother. He was going to heaven with me. But, oh, we were going to be separated. Now we're going to be together. Don't you think my brother ought to be together with me? My father don't want to separate us. Does he? No. And again, I don't know whether we're going to be black or white or what it's going to be. I just know we're going to be like him. Because we're going to see him like he is. So too many are satisfied with Peter's Christ. Do you realize Pentecostal people, there are a lot of Pentecostal people who believe. Well, I started to say they believe in being saved, but You know, if a fellow tells me anymore that he's saved and he can be lost, I say, well, you're not saved yet. Oh, but I am saved. No, no. From your own testimony, you're not saved. You're just hoping you're going to be saved. Now, I know he's saved. See, I know more than he knows. Came to an old drunk out here on South Federal one day at a hunting party. And that was the foulest mouth, dirtiest mouth, no good, two-thirds drunk. Someone said, shut up, there's a preacher. Is there you a preacher? I used to be a preacher, but I'm on my way to hell now. I said, man. Why, you're a child of God. Why, you could have put one of them big game guns at his head and pulled a trigger and it wouldn't have surprised him anymore. Or he wouldn't have rebelled anymore. Well, I knew there was no point in trying to argue with him. But I said, I don't know when I'll see you again, but I know I will see you in heaven. Don't tell me that, preacher. I know I'm on my way to hell. Well, I said, you ought to find something in the book that told you that. Walked into a sporting goods place about 6 months after that, and lo and behold, that guy walked up to me. He said, Brother Hill, you know me? And I said, no, I don't really know you. He said, I'm that guy. He said, Brother Hill, I'm back preaching the gospel. Now, what do you think of that? You see, you can be saved, you can be filled, you can believe in divine healing, and you believe as far as Peter did. You need to listen to Peter, who spoke about his beloved brother Paul, who said and wrote some things that were hard to be understood, which they who are unlearned and unstable do wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. You need to know what Paul said. You need to go as far as he did. And I'm going to close it out. There's so much I could say, but how to be filled. Now, I know the Bible evidence, and you can say what you want to. We've got even Pentecostal people, so-called, that say you don't need to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, precious heart, you can't go to the Word of God and get any real evidence that you have received the Holy Spirit until you speak with tongues. Now, I'm not trying to get you to speak with tongues. I think a lot of people might jabber something or something. But when you do get filled with the Holy Spirit will manifest himself by speaking in tongues. He'll take your tongue and speak in a language with it that you don't know anything about. Now, I don't have time, but five times in the book of Acts, men and women initially received the Holy Spirit. Three times it definitely says they spoke in other tongues. That's how the Jews knew the Holy Spirit had come to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius, because they heard them speak with tongues. That's how they knew it. But then on the other hand, you take the Apostle Paul. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And I'd like to know what it was that sorcerer saw that made him know those people had been filled with the Holy Spirit. You think about it. Something happened of a miraculous nature there that he knew they had received the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you say that was enough evidence? Especially if you didn't have any evidence to the contrary. See, that's the way with the security of the believer. Why John 3:16 is all the evidence I need, especially when I've searched this book for years and years and years and have never found anything contrary to it. And if I did find something contrary to it, I'd say Jesus Christ didn't know what he was talking about when he said God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you, that if you would believe him, you would never... What? He didn't know what he was talking about, did he, Sister Hall? Poor Jesus. He needed some of these legal preachers to educate him and tell him that eternal didn't mean eternal, and everlasting didn't mean everlasting, and shall never perish meant you might. See? You better begin to listen to the Word of God. Let's pray. Now you can sit there, you can go on, you will. I cannot be responsible for you once I tell you the facts. Now it's up to you. Do you want the best that God has for your life? I'll tell you, if you want it, you're going to need to receive the Holy Spirit. That don't mean simply because you're Pentecostal that you're going to go on with God. Some of the most carnal, unbelieving Christians I know are Pentecostal Christians. When I first got started, did you know you couldn't have seen a Pentecostal person with bobbed hair, with lipstick, rouge? A what? Oh, my. This one outfit on the TV, some fella, he was one of them old school guys, I guess, and he was just bold enough to tell them the truth. I didn't see this. My son saw it. And he said to her, she's talking about the rapture, and he said, if Jesus came and got you tonight, he'd have to leave so much of you behind, your false eyelashes and all that stuff, that there wouldn't be much you go. Now, that's Pentecost today. That's Pentecost today. I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you right now. From my own standpoint, if I had to go to a Pentecostal, legal Pentecostal meeting, or a good fundamental meeting, I had no choice but those two, I'd be in a good fundamental meeting. I at least would hear some of the Word of God. God bless you. You need prayer? Raise your hand. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, meet us for your glory.